just with us, Lord, on this earth, and we pray that we would take heed to them, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. That's like thunder. Scares you. All right. We left off in verse 28. We went through 27. The Bible references lightnings in a couple different ways. And in this particular case, it's called the lightning. And in other places, it's called lightnings. So we saw some of the references last week. What this the lightning is here in verse 27, and it's Jesus Christ coming back. It's like the sun that lightens the day. It goes from the east all the way to the west. Okay, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west, and that's how the Son of Man is coming back. He's coming back so that in a way where everybody is going to know that he's coming back, not just those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but even the unsaved and those that are on the earth are going to recognize, hey, we're in trouble here, you know. So verse 28, the Bible says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. When Jesus Christ comes back, folks, there's going to be a lot of dead people. And the birds are going to be hungry, especially if there's been darkness on the earth for 45 days. They haven't had anywhere to go and get food. Okay, they're going to be bunkered down and wherever they're sitting, and they're not going to be able to go and get the food like they normally could. And at the end of the tribulation, the Bible says that, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark. And so we know there's not going to be any light there. And for how long of a period of time, I'm to the belief that it's going to be the 45 days. Because the Jews are still on earth after the tribulation, the Bible says. Because they're waiting for Jesus to come back. And we looked at some references in Daniel where we know about how long the tribulation, we know exactly the days that they're going to be persecuted, but we also know that they have to wait an extra 45 days. And so it looks like it's going to be the 45 days of darkness as we discussed. And so, but the Lord is going to feed his creation, folks. I mean, He cares about the things he created. He cares about a man, but he also cares about the animals that he created. And if they're hungry, he's going to feed them. And they don't go around worrying about where they're going to get their meals, folks. The Lord gives them their meals. He feeds the sparrow, and he knows when that sparrow falls to the ground. And so he cares about his creation. And not only the animals, but people as well. And God's creation is pretty much the animals and the earth and the sun and the moon. And it appears when you go through the Bible, they're the only ones that really obey Jesus Christ. I mean, you've got angelical beings that don't obey Jesus Christ. You've got human beings that don't obey Jesus Christ. But the bees, when God orders them to go sting a bunch of people, they go. The hornet, they go. The bear, the she bears, when God says to go eat up those children, they went. And they ate them, they mauled them. And Jesus even goes to the point to say that, hey, If you didn't rejoice at my entry into this city, the rocks would have cried out because they obey Jesus. People with free will, seems like they don't obey Jesus. Hey, I'm guilty, right? Hey, we're all guilty of not obeying what the Lord tells us to obey. And thank God that He gives us a chance to confess that to Him and get right with Him. Or we'd be in a world of trouble. We'd be feeling alone today, you know? And so, but man will become bird food, folks. And it's written in the Bible. He becomes bird food. The birds are going to feast on the carcasses of man. Look, if you would, in Revelation. Revelation 19, verse 17. Yeah, it's called a supper. The Bible says in verse 17, 19 verse 17, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven." This is all of them. "Come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings." This isn't just animals on the ground that they're eating, folks. These are people. People. "And the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." Hey, you want to worship birds? You're going to end up being eaten by them. And that's what they get. Romans 1:23 says, hey, they look at what it says. I got to read it again because I, you know, my memory's going. Romans 1:23. These are people, folks. They knew God. They knew that He existed. And the Bible says they changed the glory of God, verse 23, of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds, right? And four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know what God unleashes on the people during the tribulation? He unleashes beasts to come and eat people. And at the end of the tribulation, when He comes back, He unleashes the birds to feed on the dead people, folks. What they worshiped turns on them. Isn't that something? You know what birds eat? You ever let a chicken out of a chicken coop? You know what they eat? They eat grass. You know what the Bible portrays men as? Grass. 1 Peter 1:24. 1 Peter 1:24. The Bible's a wonderful book, and it seems kind of sick at times when it talks about this stuff, that gross but you know, God, He gives man every chance He can to escape all of this. He gives man every chance. And all the way up until the very end, gives them chances after chance after chance after chance to repent. And they just don't. They don't. 1 Peter 1:24. Ooh, that's 2 Peter. 1 Peter 1:24. The Bible says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So the Bible portrays men as grass. And birds eat grass, folks. They do. You see them in the yard all the time. They got to have their daily veggies too, you know. Not only do we have to have vegetables, so do the birds. There's calcium. There's all types of minerals in there. They not only just eat protein. They need all the minerals. We're all made up of the dust of the ground, and the dust needs to be replenished at times. And they know exactly when to replenish it. But chickens, they eat grass. I mean, I see them all the time eating it. And when Jesus comes back to take over the kingdoms of this earth, his creation will not be starving at that point. He's going to feed the animals again. And so much for man's glory, right? he gets eaten by them. But to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. Verse 29 of Matthew 24. The Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, the sun and moon will be darkened after the great tribulation, folks. When there are no more Jews in the land for the Antichrist to trouble, to torture, to kill. The land is desolate. It doesn't mean all the Jews are gone off the world. It means in that area, the land is desolate, the prophecy is fulfilled. God has given that Jew a chance to escape that great tribulation. But he has to get out into the mountains. Why? So there's somebody to rescue for Jesus when he comes back. But why is the sun, and why is the moon, and why are the stars darkened? Have you ever, I always ask these questions. I have to. Why? Do you realize when Jesus Christ comes back, folks, there will be nothing standing in the way of his glory? Nothing. And there's not going to be the sun that's going to take away the glory, any glory from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be the moon, and there's not going to be any light from the stars to take away from Jesus Christ's glory when he comes back. There will be no mistake. This is Jesus. And everybody's going to know it. And now, in the Bible, the stars can be angels, folks. They can be angels. And we know that when we read Revelation 1. You've got the churches in Revelation 1. Look, if you would, in Revelation 1:20. Revelation 1:20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so in the Bible, stars can be portrayed as angels. They can be angels. They're called angels in the Bible. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Now, notice, if you would, in Matthew, the stars fall from heaven. In Revelation 12, you're going to see that there's a third part of the stars that are cast down from heaven. There's a big difference there, folks. Revelation 12, verses 1. We'll start there. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. okay? When we go back to Matthew, you're going to see that there's stars that fall from heaven. Now, folks, I'm just going to put this out there. And sometimes we have to use common sense in the Bible, okay? If all of the stars in heaven, let's go back to Matthew. And the stars shall fall from heaven. It doesn't say all of the stars, but we're going to see in other places that none of the stars are going to give their light, okay? Now, if one star fell from heaven, that stars in the Bible can be angels, but they also can be planets. And we went through that early in the book of Matthew. We saw the different comparisons. I don't know if you remember that. If not, I can get the references for you. But stars can be planets as well. When we look up and we see a bright star, you know what man can look up there and see? He can see that there's a planet. It's called Pluto. We don't see it as a planet. We see it as a star. Okay? But in the Bible, stars can be planets, but they can also be angels. Folks, if one planet, just one, fell from heaven and hit this earth, there would be no more earth. Not to mention a third part of the stars. If a third part of the stars fell from heaven and hit this earth and were cast to the earth, there would be no earth left. Okay? And so we have to use common sense in the Bible. Common sense tells us there's angels that are churches. The devil draws a third part of the stars of heaven, right? Third part of the stars. And casts them to the ground. What is he casting to the ground? He's casting angels, fallen angels to the ground, folks. That's what he's doing. He's casting angels to the ground. Okay? Now, we're going to go through and see what this "and the stars shall fall from heaven" really means. So, what does this falling of the stars mean here in Matthew? Go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 13. The Bible will explain what this means, but we have to remember, rightly dividing is not only just taking words from different places and lining them up. You have to take events, how they're described in the Bible, and line them up. Because there's some words that are going to be inside of other events to explain those events. And if you don't know how these events are taking place and how they're laid out, then you can easily misapply one event at one time into another event at another time and think they're the same thing when they're actually not. Okay? Hopefully you understood that. Sometimes I can, you know, make things ununderstandable. But Isaiah 13, you guys are probably already there. I haven't gotten there yet. I can only do one thing at a time anymore. I used to be able to multitask. But for somewhere along the line in life, I can't do it anymore. And sometimes it's bothersome. People will be talking to me. I'll be right in the middle of something. Usually I could have, you know, answered them. Now I'm focused on one thing. And then once I'm done, I say, yeah, what were you saying? I apologize for that. But my ADD has been cured. The Lord has cured me. So for now, that may come back, but for now I've been cured. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Very, very clear there what that is, right? We can line that up with Matthew. Very clear. Okay? If the stars fell from heaven, or if the stars fell from heaven, would they give their light? No. No, they wouldn't. And so there's what that means. There's one place where that means. When the stars fall from heaven, they're not going to give their light. Doesn't mean that they're falling to the earth, folks. They could fall back to God. And do you realize where God sits? Okay? And he puts things out. We sit here on the earth and we see something up in the sky and we see something falling. We say it's falling. But do you realize when a Christian leaves this earth, the Bible says he's caught. He's caught. He's caught up. Now, some people don't like to hear this, but I would suggest that the falling away in Thessalonians is a Christian falling away from this earth. And he has to be caught up in the air with the Lord. Now, there's a reason why the Bible uses certain terms, and I'm not going to say that that's a definite, but hey, we look at falling as falling down to earth. But something that, if God's looking at it, something could be falling away from the earth. Hey, we're going to see in another couple sections here, a couple of passages here. Another passage explains this falling of the stars, Joel 2. Joel 2. It's hard to try and look at things the way God looks at it because we just, you know, without his words, we really don't have any idea what he's talking about sometimes. And man likes to just say, this is what it is. This is what it is. All right, now, I have that problem too, but I want to know what God thinks about it. And because what he thinks about it is what matters. What I think about it doesn't matter. Joel 2, verse 10. The Bible says, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now think about it. The stars are shining to the earth. The stars are no longer, they're withdrawing their light from the earth. What's it doing? It's falling. It's falling away from the earth. It's coming back where it was. It's not going to be giving their light anymore to the earth. It's withdrawing its light from the earth. So Jesus is correct when he says, the stars shall fall from heaven. All right? It'll fall. It's going to go back. Go back to where it came from. Here you see again, the stars are withdrawing their shine. Now go with me to Revelation 6. You're going to see here another passage where the sun is dark and the moon is turned red. Revelation 6. And so this is where rightly dividing comes in. Okay? We've got the word black there. Okay? We've got the word black. We've got the word black in... Let's see what we have in Matthew. I forgot already. Shall be darkened, okay? Let's look here. Revelation 6. Revelation 6. What did I say? Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So here you've got a darkening, or the sun becomes black. Okay, there's different words there. So we can't line this up with Matthew 24, because the moon, you can see something with the moon. Okay? And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. So we read in Revelation where the devil took his tail and cast down a third part of the stars to the earth, right? So here you've got, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaking of a mighty wind. But notice, this is the sixth seal. And the Bible said in Matthew 24 that it was immediately after the tribulation the sun was darkened and the stars fell from heaven, okay? And the moon was darkened, okay? The sun and moon was darkened. And so in Revelation 6 you have during the sixth seal. Now keep reading on. Revelation 6:14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. Now, Revelation 6:14 matches Matthew 24. But Revelation 6:13 does not. It does not. Okay? The great tribulation is over in Matthew 24:29. So verse 13 can't apply to that, but verse 14 can. And the heavens departed as a scroll, and that would match the sun and moon and stars not giving her light. And how exactly does God do this? Look, if you would, in Ezekiel 32. This is how God does this. Ezekiel 32:7. How does he cause the sun and the moon and the stars not to give their light? Ezekiel 32, verse 7. The Bible says, and when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. And the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord. So he covers the sun with a cloud. That's got to be one thick cloud for the sun not to penetrate. He covers it with the cloud. He commands the stars, or the stars don't give their light. Verse 7. And the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars, and I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. So the Lord makes them dark. So evidently he does something. He commands them to not give their light anymore. Take it back. Because we read in a previous passage that the stars withdraw their shining. Okay? But there are clues that the Bible gives so that you can match up and compare passages, not just words, passages, events, things that are going to happen, and you can place them correctly, and then you won't get in a habit of putting one thing where it doesn't belong and messing up how the Lord has laid things out. Okay, because it appears that the sun is going to be dark during the tribulation for periods of time, and the moon is going to be red, and there's going to be stars cast down to the earth. Okay, is that Matthew 24:29? No. Matthew 24:29 is after the tribulation, immediately after. Okay. So, and that's just rightly dividing. We just got to pay attention to the details. And engineers are very, very, they pay attention to every little detail. You see it in the field. I work with them all the time. They're very detailed. They have a set way of doing things. It's all laid out. It's laid out in a certain order. And you want to talk about a great engineer? I mean, the Masons call some great architect, right? I'm going to tell you what, there's no engineer that's going to outdo Jesus Christ. No engineer. He's got everything laid out in detail, and he lays it out to where you have to look for it, but you can find it. If you seek, you shall find, the Bible says. But men on earth, they worship the sun, and they worship the moon, and they worship the stars today, folks. They do it today. They have all these holidays to worship the sun god. They do. And to worship the moon and to worship the constellations. I mean, they even built pyramids to be able to look up into the heavens. All right, so men and women worship creation, folks. They don't worship the god of the creation. They worship the creation. They worship the creature. And so, what does God do? He makes it to where there's no trust in the moon anymore. There's no trust in the stars anymore. There's no trust in the sun anymore. And before God comes around, the people will not have any trust in their gods, because they won't be able to see them. Isn't the God amazing? He knows how to get man. He knows how to get them. And God gives man a taste, just a small little taste, of what outer darkness is going to be like when he shuts off all natural light from entering this atmosphere. Okay? He gives man a taste. Now, man's going to have his little flashlights and his little lithium batteries, and hey, he won't be able to rely on solar power for 45 days. But he'll have his little batteries and his cars to start, and they'll be able to have artificial light. I do believe that. But the real light won't be here, and it's going to drive men crazy, folks. It's going to drive men to come against the Lord Jesus Christ when they see him coming. Because they're all going to gather. They're going to be gathered. And so, but God, he does. He gives man every chance to repent. He gives them a taste of what darkness is going to be. He gives them a taste of what hell is going to be. He lets the creatures from the pit come up and torture men. He shows them that the creation isn't what they should be worshiping. The creation has turned on man in the tribulation, is eating man. And yet, man still doesn't repent. And he'll come against God. And you know what the Bible says in John 3:19? The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, or were evil. Their deeds were evil. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Praise the Lord. The Lord is a good God, and he does everything he can for man. He gives them every opportunity to repent, and we just need to pray for men that they'll repent. And that's all we can do, is pray for them and try to persuade. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we pray that we would never be guilty of changing them or adding them. And if we do, Lord, we pray that you would just convict us right away, so we would get it right with you and move on and study your words, and what a blessing they are. And we know that they're true, Lord, and we're grateful for your honesty and your trueness, and what a great thing. And we can count on you and your words to come through no matter what, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And we pray, Lord, now for the lessons today and the teaching and preachings today, that you would just bless them and help us to walk with you and get instructions to do so. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.